Lucis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations, and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner Sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way, with new eyes. So, stay with us and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today, responsibility, an expression of the soul, part two. And before we explore this topic, I'd like to say a few words about Alice Bailey, founder of the Lucis Trust. Lucis Trust sponsors this show. Alice Bailey also wrote 24 books of esoteric philosophy, and those 24 books are the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show. The following thought is also from the works of Alice Bailey. The sense of responsibility is one of the first indications that the soul of the individual is awakened. Does responsibility manifest itself in the animal kingdom? You were speaking about the animal kingdom in the last show, but I was wondering if responsibility manifests itself in the animal kingdom, or is that too advanced of a value?
Well, responsibility means literally the ability to respond. And in the sense of the motherhood that we see demonstrated by animals towards their young, there is that ability to respond because they will sacrifice and put the interests of the young above their own needs. Their nature is full of examples like that. I suppose it begins on an instinctual level, responsibility. And in fact, Alice Bailey traces out three levels or three spiritual gradations of the sense of responsibility. And the first is that of instinct, the instinctive response that makes a living creature or being care about another enough to sacrifice for it. And the animal kingdom is full of examples like that. I don't think we should see that instinctive responsiveness as diminishing the value of responsibility just because it's not conscious in the way a human being is conscious. In a way, it says to me how deep-seated the sense of obligation is in all creatures. In fact, some years ago, wasn't there something on the news about a cat that almost lost her life for her babies?
Well, yes, it was very widely covered here in the New York area about this marvelous cat that she saved her babies from a burning building. She took them out of the building one by one and plopped them down on the lawn outside, and she kept going back two or three times into this burning building.
How many of us would go back in a burning building?
Yeah. But in the end, twice. She got very badly burned herself, but she saved all of her kittens, but she was very badly burned, but the people, here again, people of responsibility to the animal kingdom, they saw this whole thing going on with this cat, and they saved this cat's life, and they brought it back to
the fireman found her.
Yeah, and they took her to the vet and patched her up, and she's alive and very happy, I guess, today. But she doesn't look too much like a cat. She was badly burned, but
she was put up for adoption, as I recall, and there was enormous competition among people to adopt this cat and her kittens because they were so amazed at her sacrifice.
But here's a case where these kittens were probably only a few days old, and they were not ready to go off on their own, or they weren't self-sustaining. So she still had the instinct to save them because they weren't ready to leave the nest, or so to speak. So it was a very great moment of sacrifice on her part, but she followed her instincts, and that was a tremendous sense of responsibility there showing through.
A slightly higher level of responsibility than the instinctive level is the level of duty. Doing one's duty, being dutiful, is the level of work for which one gets very little praise or recognition. It's just doing what has to be done because it has to be done, and the responsibility for it lies with you. But there's a lot of resistance to it too, and I think a lot of spiritually inclined people feel a kind of a resentment about having to do their duty. They would prefer to be able to go off and develop their spiritual life, and they wish they had more freedom to read spiritual books, practice meditation, not be interfered with by the demands of family and work, when in fact those demands, those obligations to family, work, and community are the lifeblood of the soul. Because we can't live just for ourselves, we live as part of a larger whole. And that whole includes our family, our community, our place of work, our nation, the other kingdoms that we share the planet with. This starts out as being dutiful. And as Jesus said, be faithful in the little things, and you will be given much. But we have to first be faithful in the little things. We can't skip over those obligations. That's the sense of duty, and it's one that can't be evaded.
No, and it's a responsibility of every human being, really, to because of the nature of our job, in a sense. It's our job because we incarnate into this world in a physical body for a very specific purpose. It's part of the divine plan of God that we come into this world and work at our own pace, but work at the process of redemption and refinement of first our physical nature and then our emotional and mental nature. And this is all part of the great refining process. And we have a duty and a responsibility to do this. This is what the job of the soul is, working through this physical world.
Yes, in fact, there's a statement in the Ageless Wisdom that is found in the books of Alice Bailey. I am the life to these my lives, and so resemble God. That sounds so obscure, but what that statement means is that even the little atomic lives that make up our physical, emotional, and mental lives, or bodies, as the Ageless Wisdom would call them, are lives that are dependent on the larger being, the soul indwelling the body and using those vehicles for their care and their evolution. I am the life to these my lives. If we thought about how we treat our bodies as the responsibility for all the tiny microscopic atomic lives that make up our physical bodies and depend on sunshine and clean water and good food and enough rest and vitamins and a healthy environment, we would be nicer to our bodies and be more careful with them and more respectful of the service they provide us. They are our vehicle. They are our chariot. Our physical bodies are our chariot by which we get around. And yet we misuse the body in so many ways without a thought. That kind of makes you think we have an obligation to the lives that make up our personal equipment, so to speak.
Absolutely, and they're doing their thing at their level. I mean, every little atom of substance there is doing its thing. It's programmed to do what it does, and so it goes right ahead and does it without any sense of obligation.
We get terribly upset when they stop working for us and develop an illness. Mm-hmm. Then we feel as if our bodies have betrayed us.
But that's, I have to expand this sense of responsibility in both ways. Not only horizontally outward into the world and into the community and the nation, but also within ourselves and our physical body, and also our emotional nature too. That has to come undergo the refining process because that is part of what we have created, part of what we have to work with. And then there is the responsibility we have with the Dharma of the soul as it works out its Dharma or responsibility and obligations in the world.
That's a Sanskrit word that means duty or obligation. It has more levels of nuance, I think, than just duty and obligation. It's the soul's task, chosen before incarnation, wouldn't you say, the driving, motivating purpose for a particular incarnation?
Right. It's what I was kind of driving at earlier when I was talking about the job of the soul is to work in the physical world, to imprison itself in this physical body and undergo such tremendous limitations. But that's its job, to constantly work at refining and upgrading and uplifting up the substance and the vibration level of this physical body.
There's an element of acceptance that comes into an understanding of Dharma. As the Bhagavad Gita said, better one's own Dharma than the Dharma of another. Meaning, accept your own responsibilities and don't try to assume the responsibilities that rightfully belong to someone else. You have your own particular tasks, each of us does. And in accepting that, accepting our lot, so to speak, we are putting ourselves in alignment with the soul, because our circumstances, the Ageless Wisdom says, are exactly as they need to be for our next step in our spiritual growth. Whatever situation we're in right now, that is exactly appropriate for the soul to take its next step in evolution. Maybe that's why St. Paul said, I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Because I suppose he figured out it's just right. Not necessarily what I enjoy, but it's right for my particular spiritual point on the path.
Right. We have to take ourselves as we are, and here again, where we are depends on the decision of the soul. The soul has chosen to be incarnate through this particular family group or this particular nation or ethnic group, or engaged in this particular activity in this particular life. So it is the soul's choice based on its vision of what it is trying to accomplish in line with the plan of God. So it's we have to take ourselves as we are, where we are at the moment, and start from there and work with it and not try to rebel against it.
And I think one liberating recognition to hold in mind about whatever one's lot is that it's part of a much larger experience that one shares with a group and with humanity as a whole. We aren't living just for ourselves. So our particular sphere of life and responsibility might seem very constricted for us as an individual, but if we see it as contributing to the greater good of family, community, the world, then it takes on dignity and meaning, I think.
For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today, Responsibility, an Expression of the Soul, Part 2. We have a special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. Just a little blurb from the about the book to give you an idea about the essence of what you'll find within The Soul, The Quality of Life. The soul, the higher self, or individuality, is the guiding force within every human being. It leads each individual to an understanding of his responsibility in the working out of the divine plan on earth. The soul returns to manifestation life after life for purposes of service to the planet. And of course, this book, The Soul, The Quality of Life, this is the Alice Bailey book upon which this show is based. Now, the special offer comes in the form of free shipping and handling. So what you need to do is send a check or a money order, $16, request The Soul, The Quality of Life, send the check or money order to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Once again, check or money order, $16, request The Soul, The Quality of Life, send it to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All of our Inside programs can be heard on our website at www.lucistrust.org. On the homepage, you'll find a link to today's program, which will be available for hearing in a day or two. Last week's program is already available, and many of our past programs can also be heard. Once again, www.lucistrust.org. The theme of each week's program is posted in advance on our website so that you can see in advance what next Sunday's program will be, and try to remember also that all of your donations are tax deductible. You've been very generous in the past, and that's what helps keep us on the air doing these radio shows. So once again, all donations can be sent to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We're having an especially difficult challenge ahead of us funding the show, and we would like to continue doing the show, and as in the past, we're hoping that everything will be all right and your donations come through and we can once again opt for continuing on this show. So please send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. Our ideal is for a company, perhaps to, or a foundation, perhaps to underwrite the show. And we, of course, mentioned the organization's name and say a few words about it. But see, that would, if something big like that happened economically to Lucis Trust, we wouldn't have any. We wouldn't have to weigh ourselves down every week for looking for donations. We could just stick to our theme and develop the spiritual topic for that particular week. So, see if you can continue that support, and I hope something really good happens in that respect. And also, by the way, we have a midnight show from 12 to 12:30. A.M. on Sunday mornings, and also you'll find a lot of variety because it's always a different theme from what our Sunday morning show is. So tune in to our midnight show, 12 to 12:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Now I couldn't help thinking of an anecdote from my own life relating to what you were saying about responsibility and expression of the soul, which is our topic for today. I remember a friend of mine who became a Trappist monk when he was about 19 years old, and his objective was to be spiritual, develop himself spiritually. And what you're saying today is the very world that he was escaping in an effort to immerse himself in spiritual and divine knowledge was the world where he could have probably developed his own inner being towards divinity, even more so than becoming a recluse like a Trappist monk. And I don't mean that in a pejorative, but
I don't know. I think he was 19. He probably was free to make a choice like that. And let's assume that he made the right choice for his soul's next step. I suppose there are lifetimes when one really needs to develop the inner light, mm-hmm. and the life of the convent would be a marvelous place to do that, the contemplative life. What I was speaking of more was the people who have spiritual aspiration and see their family and their work and their community obligations as an interference with what they believe would foster their spiritual development. People who see the obligations of their children and of their work, their family, as intruding on what they would rather do, which would be to read books, meditate, be quiet, think lovely thoughts. That's more of what I meant about people wanting to run away from the world rather than being in it to fulfill their responsibilities, and trusting that in doing that, they are actually bringing in more and more of the power of the soul. That's the thing. The more we develop a sense of responsibility, the more we engage our gears, so to speak, with the greater gear of the soul, because we're working in the same direction.
Right. The excuse me. By pushing your family away, you may, in fact, be blocking the impact of the soul. But I was thinking while you were talking there, that our family very often is our teachers, and we learn from the relationships we establish with our family, and working out through those relationships, we learn the great lessons of the soul and allow that avenue for the soul to come through to help build loving relationships. And that's one thing we can work out through a family situation.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story I read in some book I've long since forgotten. It was so many years ago, about two individuals. One was a person who was regarded as a very spiritual being, a teacher, highly respected, who received a lot of respect and admiration from the people who came to learn from him, and who thought quite well of himself as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And the other was a woman who was nearly destitute. This was in some earlier lifetime. And she had children that she had to care for, and it was very hard for her to keep them fed and clothed. And it was a lifetime basically spent yelling at her kids and always in an uproar and upset, because she had so much pressure to survive and keep her children well. And the master told her that really her life was more valuable in the ultimate development of the soul, because she was prepared to do absolutely anything for the welfare of her children. She did it with a lot of yelling and screaming and not a calm and serene attitude, but she did. She could be counted on to give everything to the well-being of her children, and that was what counted with the soul. It's an apocryphal story, but it stuck in my mind, because we think of the spiritual being as a person who's tranquil, serene, calm, thinking beautiful thoughts, and that is the ideal, and we should strive toward it. But of a certain value is the willingness to sacrifice and to hang in there in spite of every reason to want to run away, and her lifetime counted for that.
Right. I think it's a matter of consciousness and the development of consciousness in this. People have to start from where they are in consciousness, and until the mind awakens and begins to take a more active control over one's outer life, there really isn't much that the soul can do to influence the personal life. Because the soul works through the mind. It needs the mind awake so it can impress the mind. And until the brain cells are sensitive to the subtle impulses of the soul, there really isn't much that the soul can do if that ability to respond isn't there. And so we see all kinds of all degrees of responsiveness in the world, of people who are completely shut off and who are completely self-centered and self-wrapped up in themselves and are not yet responsible for even themselves sometimes. But then we see also in the world these great servers who have no sense of self at all, who are completely selfless and are just living souls working through this physical world, bringing so much light into the world.
There's another aspect to Dharma, the spiritual duty of the soul, that we haven't talked too much about, and that is the different gradations of Dharma that we have to learn to balance and juxtapose, each one of us. There's the Dharma of our responsibility in our immediate environment in terms of family, work, and community. And then there's the Dharma of the soul that might involve more of an orientation to the inner world while not abandoning the outer world, if you follow me. The duty to evolve spiritually in consciousness while maintaining the outer relationships and requirements of living in the world. That's why we're here on Earth, to find that balance point that merges the inner spiritual life and the outer life of worldly experience. And there comes a point where each person has to decide what responsibilities should take priority over others. That's where we make a lot of mistakes, but I think that's also where we learn discrimination. And that's part of the experience of learning and evolving as a human being. One of the things that bothers me in the school we have for meditation and spiritual development, the Arcane School, is how many of our students want to run away from the world and not pay attention to world crises and problems. And yet those crises and problems form an intrinsic aspect of the training for spiritual development, because we're all part of humanity. We all have to pay attention and follow world events and do what we can through the quality of our thought, our meditation, to contribute to world betterment. We can't just ride out the storm by burying our head. And this is an area where a lot of our students really seem to want to have it otherwise. They think the spiritual life is going to be one where they just turn inward to the life of study and meditation and don't pay attention to the world. There has to be a bridging of the two. And that's what's emphasized in the teaching of Alice Bailey. That comes through so clearly. In fact, there's a daily review that people can work with to develop their sense of responsibility. Consider each day the dharma that we have in our home, the duty that we have to our group, whatever we might think is our group, and the obligation we have to humanity. Each of those questions asked daily would reveal our developing responsibility.
Please take advantage of the special offer from Lucis Publishing Company, and that's the Alice Bailey book, which is the subject of today's discussion. The book's title is The Soul, The Quality of Life. The Soul, The Quality of Life is a compilation of extracts from the 24 books of Alice Bailey. It's available now for $16. And what you need to do to take advantage of this special offer is send a check or a money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. You're requesting the book entitled Soul, The Quality of Life. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills. The purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.